I want you to notice some verses before we get into the message this morning. Look at chapter 12, the verses 7 and 8. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And compare verses, or chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. We're looking, as we've said today, at Abram's altars. You know, the passage of Scripture that we have read here this morning together introduces us to two men. There's two men, namely Abram and Lot, his nephew. They began a journey from Haran together. Earlier in the last verses of chapter 11, they had moved from Ur of the Chaldees to this place called Haran. There's a place called Haran. There's a man called Haran. But they had moved from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, which was a commercial center between the Mediterranean Sea and the Euphrates River. They had moved there along with Abram's father called Terah and Lot's grandfather. Abram's father was Lot's grandfather. But now in chapter 12, these two men, they move on. They're moving on at the call and command of God unto Abram. Terah, the old man, the old grandfather, he has died. At the beginning of that journey, they had one common, Abram and Lot had one common goal. And there was a unity, there was a purpose between them. But when we come to chapter 13, sadly, because of the strife among their herdsmen, Abram and Lot, they are separated from one another. And after Abram gave Lot the choice of direction which he wanted to go, we see the direction that their lives began to take spiritually. We not only see the physical direction that their lives went, we see the spiritual direction. For sadly, while Abram climbed up a mountain to a place where the air and the atmosphere was clean and it was pure from sin, and where his vision was unlimited, we see Abraham going on with God. But Lot, he went down. Abram went up. Lot went down. Not only did he go down physically, but he went down spiritually. For you see, Lot went down into the plains of Sodom, where there was countless opportunities to do trade and to do business with his livestock. But what Lot hadn't taken into consideration was that while Abram went up into a mountain where the air was clean and pure from sin, Lot, he went down, he didn't take into consideration that down in the plains of Sodom, that the air stank with the sin of Sodom. Lot never took that into consideration. He only thought about it was a place where he could do business with his livestock. In Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 to 12, we read, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Why did he choose it? Did God lead him there? No, God didn't. Why did he choose it then? Because it was well watered, and the pastures were green. He wasn't thinking about the Lord. He was thinking of lucre. Filthy lucre. And Lot journeyed east. And it says, and they separated themselves Abram and Lot separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. Oh, what a difference. Lot's in the city. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. But I want you to notice something, that after that decision, and after that separation between Abram and Lot, as we have read together, Abram built altars. Lot never built an altar. Abram was an altar builder. Lot never built an altar. Perhaps there were times when Lot had knelt and stood at his uncle's altar before they separated. There was many a time, I believe, when Lot stood at the altar with Abraham and he watched Abraham making the sacrifices. He listened to Abraham praying. Oh, Lot stood at the altars in his young day. But after he and Abram separated, he never stood at an altar again. He never stood at an altar of his own. And I have no doubt that it was because of that, because he had no altar, that Lot became a worldly man, in that he decided for the plains of Sodom because they were well watered. You see, the truth is, folks, that if we miss out on the altar, if we continually and deliberately miss out on the house of God, we will gradually become worldly. Oh, we may not go into the depths of sin, but we will become worldly in our thinking and worldly in our practice. If we miss out on the altar like Lot, then we're going down spiritually. I have no doubt that Lot stood at Abram's altar many, many times, but he never stood at an altar of his own, and he became a worldly man. And after a while, it made the choice to dwell towards Sodom an easy choice for Lot to make. But equally so, it was because he had no altar. And I want you to bear this in mind. It was because Lot had no altar that he eventually lost everything that he had neglected the altar for. It was because he had no altar that he lost everything that he had gained in the world and gained in Sodom. And sadly, if that had been the end of it, that would have been okay. But that wasn't the end of it, for sadly, it was because he had no altar that Lot lost his wife and he lost his daughters, and it was because he had no altar that Lot lost his testimony. Now listen, folks, I want to say this, that if you have no altar at home, and if you neglect the altar that we have in the house of God, if we neglect the place of worship, if we neglect the place of prayer, then sooner or later, we will reap the consequences of that neglect. And like Lot, we could lose everything that the Lord has given to us. But God forbid. And I'm speaking now to the menfolk, and I'm speaking to those that have wives and have children. God forbid that because of our neglect of the altar, that we should lose our wives. Yeah, ladies, God forbid that because of your neglect of the altar, that you should lose your husband. But God forbid that because of the lack of any of us, that we should lose our family, that we should lose our children. God forbid that we should neglect the altar and lose our testimony or lose our soul. Well, listen, there's nothing more important in this world than having an altar, a quiet place in the home, and attending to the altar in the house of God. Listen, folks, no matter how busy life is, and life is busy for every one of us, don't neglect the altar. But firstly, let us consider Abram's first altar. It was the altar of conversion. I believe it was the altar of salvation. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, we read, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." Now let me give you a brief account of the testimony or the life story of Abram. I'll give you a little bit already, but let us fill it in. Abram was born, he was brought up in the city of Ur of the Chaldees. It was another very prosperous city, with probably the most advanced culture of the world at that particular time in history. Indeed, recent discoveries have unearthed golden helmets and golden daggers where kings were buried, cemeteries where kings were buried. Ur of the Chaldees at the time of Abraham was well advanced for its time. But Ur was a heathen city. They didn't worship the true God of heaven. They worshipped the god, the moon god, along with his consort. And so we can say that Abram was brought up in idolatry and pagan heathenism. That was his testimony as a child, brought up in an ungodly city. His father's name was Terah. And in Genesis 11, in the verse 31, we read, "And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there." Now, let me explain to you that God had called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. But it seems that as the head of the home, it was Terah who took the lead initially. But Terah, the father. He was to become a great hindrance to Abram, the son. For as the head of the home, Terah probably forbid any other worship to any other god apart from his own moon god. And so while God had spoken to Abram in Ur of the Chaldees, Abram remained, I believe, unsaved. Terah, his father, was a hindrance to his salvation. I wonder, is there a father today, and you're a hindrance to your child's salvation? They want to go to the meetings, but you think it's more important that he's at home on the farm, maybe. You see, I know what that's like. Is there somebody here, and they've a child not saved, but you're hindering them? Well, that's a very dangerous thing. For if you're a hindrance, God can remove that hindrance. But Terah not only was a hindrance to his salvation, Terah became a hindrance to his sons going on with God. For when they came to Haran, which was another pagan city, Terah refused to go on, and there he dwelt until he died. And of course, Abram couldn't go on without the father. He couldn't go on without the head of the home. And so Abraham had to remain in Haran. God had called him to go to Ur of the Chaldees, but his father now was restraining him, hindering him from going on through with God. Had to stay in Haran until his father died. And so his father not only was a hindrance to his salvation, he was a hindrance to his son obeying the Lord, a hindrance to his son coming to the Lord. Oh, I wonder, is there a father who's maybe a saint in the church, but a rascal at home? And your hypocrisy is a hindrance to your family obeying the Lord. Your hypocrisy, a saint in the church and a rascal at home. And the hypocrisy is a great hindrance to the family coming to the Lord and going on with the Lord. If so, be warned, for God can deal with you. And he can remove you unless you repent and get right with God. But anyway, after the death of his father Abraham, he obeyed the call of God again. And leaving heathen pagan Haran behind, we read that he passed through the land onto the place of Shechem, onto the plain of Moreh. And there in chapter 13, verse 7, we read, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land." And look what Abram did, verse 7 again. "And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." And I believe that it was at this place, and I believe it was at this moment when Abram was wonderfully saved at his first altar, when God had removed the hindrance at his first altar, that's where Abraham was saved. For here, what has Abram done? He has torn down the altars of heathenism and paganism and idolatry from his heart and threw them out of his life. And he's built a new altar. It's not an altar unto any other God. It's an altar unto the Lord. And so we can see here that Abram's converted from idolatry unto Christ. He's converted from paganism to Christianity. Here at this altar, Abram's saved. He's born again. And here he's beginning to trust in God. He's built an altar unto the Lord. Abram maybe never knew the date. But I tell you something, he could look back to the place, for he did return to the place. Maybe he didn't know the date when he built it, but he knew where he built it. He knew the place. He could recall the moment. He could say, "It was at the altar that I built unto the Lord in Moreh that I was converted. It was there." I don't remember the date, but I know it was there that I was saved. I wonder, can you look back to a place in your life's journey? Can you look back to the moment? I'm not asking you the date nor the time, but can you remember the moment? Can you remember the place when by faith you came to Christ, when you knelt at the cross? Can you say, "It was there that I was converted. It was there that I was saved. It was there that I was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb"? Well, if you can't, then I say to you this Lord's Day morning, come to the cross by faith. Build there an altar. Throw down the altars of religiosity and ceremony. Tear them from your heart and build an altar unto the Lord and trust him. Trust him today. Make an altar of conversion. But then secondly, notice Abram's altar of supplication or communion or prayer. You know, after he had built his first altar in Moreh, where he was saved and converted, we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 8, "And he removed from thence onto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." Oh, there's been the altar of conversion. Now he's moved on, but he still has an altar. He's building another altar. He's going on with God. Child of God, I wonder, are you going on with him? Oh, you can remember the moment you were saved. Have you moved on very far? Do you still have that altar? At the first altar that he built at Moreh, that's where he was saved. As he knelt there at that first altar, God met with him, and verse 7 tells us that at that first altar, the Lord appeared unto him. But Abram has moved on in his journey into the land of Canaan. He has moved from Moreh to a place between Bethel and Hai. And once again, when he stops, first thing he does, he builds an altar unto the Lord. And there, look at what he's doing. says he called upon the name of the Lord. Here, Abram built an altar where he could meet with the Lord. An altar of prayer. A place of prayer, a place of fellowship with God. Can I say this? That one of the most obvious signs of a person, or that a person is saved, and that they're going on with God, is the fact that they'll want to be in touch with God. One of the marks of a believer is seen in their prayer life. As soon as Abram was saved, he became a man of prayer. And as long as he had an altar of prayer, the Lord continued to bless him. I ask you again, have you an altar of prayer in your life, in your home? Do you attend to the altar of prayer midweek? But getting back to Abram, for years he had lived amongst idolatry. He had lived amongst false gods, but now he's saved and he's going on with God. And automatically he wanted to meet with God and he wanted to speak with God. It seems to be, this seems to be his practice on a daily basis, every day. Like Adam in the Garden of Eden, he wanted to meet with God. He wanted to speak with him. Abram, no doubt, enjoyed those times of fellowship and prayer. They weren't a burden. He looked forward to them. They weren't a duty to him. It was a privilege. To speak with God and to hear God speak with him was like sweet music to his ears. It was an honor. It was a privilege to be in the place of prayer, to meet with God. To be able to speak with God. What a privilege. But I want you to notice this. Abram was always safe when he was at or when he was near the second altar. When he was at the second altar, notice there was never a famine in the land when he was near to this altar of prayer. There was never a famine when he was coming nigh unto God. Now listen, the believer will have troubles and trials in this world. The devil will make sure of that. And the Lord will allow us to have troubles and trials in this world to build us up and to strengthen us in our faith. Ach, you will be a poor Christian. They didn't have troubles and trials. But you know, I believe that there are trials and there are troubles in this life that we invite and that we leave ourselves open to. Why? Because we neglect the altar of prayer and we get away from the Lord. Every Christian will have troubles. But I tell you something, prayerless Christians will have added troubles. Now, I want you to notice what happened. When Abram did exactly that, that is, when Abram forsook this altar of prayer, notice in verses 9 and 10, Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. What's he doing? He's leaving the altar of prayer. Then in verse 10, notice what it says. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. When he forsook the altar of prayer, it wasn't long until he found himself in trouble and in the midst of a famine. But instead of getting back to the altar at that time, what did he do? He went further into trouble, further away from the altar, further down into trouble, for he went down into Egypt. Instead of coming back to the altar of prayer, he's going on down into Egypt to sojourn there. He went back to that which God had called him to come out of, back into the midst of paganism. Back into the midst of idolatry. What's Abram doing? He's working on the flesh. He's compromising. He's apostatizing, thankfully only for a time. Notice something else. All the while he sojourned in Egypt, Abram never built an altar. Never built an altar in Egypt. Did you notice that? Well, what does that suggest? Well, if he had no altar, it would suggest that he had no fellowship with God in Egypt. That he never spent time with God. That he never prayed the way he used to. And look what became of him. He became a deceiver. We could say he became a liar. For while Sarah, his wife, was his half-sister, he told Sarah to tell the Egyptians to say that she was a sister and not to let on. Don't you let on that I'm your sister. Or let on that you're my sister, not my wife. Abraham became a deceiver. Yes, she was his half-sister. But he says, you tell them you're my sister. Don't you let on that you're my wife. Why? Because you're a beautiful woman. And I'm afraid they'll kill me. He became a deceiver and he became fearful. Abram's faith was shattered when he had no altar, and when troubles came, his faith was shattered and he sunk back into sin. When he left, when he neglected the altar of prayer and neglected his fellowship with God, his faith was shattered. And if it could happen to Abram, and it did happen to Abram, what hope is there for us? Oh, I say, child of God, don't neglect the altar of prayer. Don't forsake the altar, or it will be to your peril. But maybe you have forsaken that altar. And things have gone, and things are going badly wrong. And you wonder why. Maybe you're even pointing the finger at God and saying, why, God? God saying to you this morning, it's because you have neglected my altar. You have put other things before me on a Tuesday night. You have put other things before me in the home. Maybe you need to get back to the altar again, the altar of prayer, and back into fellowship again with the Lord. I'm going to miss one altar because time's beaten me. You see, Abraham had also an altar of praise and an altar of adoration. An altar where he just came to thank the Lord and to praise the Lord. You know, folks, whenever we come to the prayer meeting, too often we come with a shopping list. Maybe whenever we come to the place of prayer in the home, we just come with a shopping list and ask the Lord for this and that and the other. How many times do you ever just come to the altar and just say, thank you, Lord, for everything? Don't ask for anything. You just say, thank you, Lord, for everything. And then come back at another time to pray and ask the Lord for whatever you need. But I want us to notice the altar of provision or the altar of substitution. We didn't read it together, but we'll look at it. Genesis chapter 22 and the verse 9 we read. This is Abram and Isaac. It's not Abram and his nephew anymore. It's Abram and his son. And they're building an altar. Genesis 22, verse 9, we read, and they came to the place where God had told him of and built there an altar. Oh, he's up out of Egypt now. He's back in fellowship with God. What's he doing? He's building another altar. And built there an altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar on the wood. Abram was an elderly man by this stage. But look at him. He's still building an altar. What can I say to the old folks, the older folks? You may not be able to do what you used to do for the Lord. You may not be able to go around with a visitation, with the leaflets to the children's mission. You may not be able to sit with the boys and girls. Mind you, the children love the older folk. I'm a grandad now. And I just love the wee granddaughter. And I go in, she looks at me and smiles. Only 8 months. Just don't write yourself off because you're older in the children's work. But here was Abram. He's an elderly man. He's still building an altar. Can I say to the older folks, maybe you can't get out, but you can pray. Never let the devil tie your tongue. But in Genesis 22, in the verse 2, God was testing Abram's faith, and he said to him, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." And the next morning, Abraham, he doesn't procrastinate, doesn't put it off and say, "Well, I want to spend another week with my son." No, the very next morning, gets up early. Abram set off on another journey. Oh, he's not going down to Egypt anymore. He's following God to the place where God wanted him to be, the place where God wanted him to sacrifice his son, his only son Isaac. And when they came to the place, Abram and Isaac left the servants behind, and they went. And the first thing they did was build an altar. And Isaac, I believe, willingly allowed his father to bind him and to lay him upon that altar. You see, Abram was an older man. Isaac was a young man. He could easily have defeated Abram. But I believe that Isaac, willingly, when the father told him what God had told him to do, he trusted his father and he trusted God. And Isaac willingly allowed his father to bind him, to lay him upon that altar. And just as Abram was about to plunge the knife into Isaac's breast, believing that if he slew him, that God would raise him again, God called unto Abraham and said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son from me." And at that moment, when Abram lifted up his eyes, there was a ram. Oh, it wasn't there before. It's there now. There was a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. An unblemished lamb. It was caught by the horns, not by the wool, not by the skin. It's unblemished. It's unmarked. It's caught by the horns. What had happened? God had provided a substitute for Isaac. He had provided a lamb, a ram, to die in the place of Isaac, to die in Isaac's stead. And so that altar that Abram built on Mount Moriah, that altar on which Isaac was led, it was an altar of substitution. But what a picture of the cross of Calvary, the cross in which Christ was led. That cross was an altar of substitution for sinful men and women, boys and girls. You know, we should have been led upon that altar. We should have been nailed to that cross, for it was our sins. We should have suffered and bled and died there. But the Savior took the sinner's place. He took my place. He died for me. I wonder today, have you let him take your place? Have you accepted his offer of salvation? I wonder, are you saved? You've been coming to Bethel now. You've been coming to the house of God. But you've never come to God through Christ. But we have come to the cross today. We're finishing at the cross. I wonder today, will you come to the cross? the place of substitution. Will you come and accept Christ as your Savior? Oh, if you're not saved, or maybe you're like Abraham, you've gone down into Egypt to sojourn there for a while. You've got backslidden away from God. Oh, let me say to you, while God's calling, get back to the altar and come back to the cross and call upon the Lord to save you or to restore you. You know the need of your heart, so does God. Thank God He can meet the need of your heart today. Get back to the cross. Get back to the altar. Get back to the place where Christ can and where Christ will meet your need through His blood. Let's just bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the challenge of Thy word today. Lord, we pray that You would speak to our hearts. Maybe the busyness of life for many has made us neglectful of the altar, in the home and in the church. But, O God, we pray, having heard Thy voice today, having received Thy word, O God, help us this day to start and put things aright. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just